In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So there's very clearly a theme that's running through the readings here, the Gospels of the Holy 50 Sundays. Very, very clear theme that's running through. What was the theme I told y'all was last week? What was Jesus talking about? Food. What is Jesus talking about this week? Drink. Very good. The theme is very clear, and actually in today's Gospel, he spoke about food again, and he spoke about drink on top of food. And we'll see what the difference is, why he speaks about bread, and he also speaks about water again today. Just to recap what we talked about last week, because it's critical, because the Gospels of the Holy 50, the Gospels of the Holy 50 are like a progression. Okay, they're getting deeper and deeper in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and that's why we started off with last week, or the first week. What was the theme of the first week? Y'all remember the first week of the Holy 50? After the resurrection. Well, first week after the resurrection, the new life, the resurrected life, the risen life with Christ is based on Thomas Sunday, faith. Okay, so it begins with faith. That's where it begins. And now there's faith. Now you take the next level. We spoke last week about the bread of life. We talked about communion. And now that the risen Christ and then the faith on our end, now we can begin to eat of the tree of life. And we talked about communion, how the Lord gave us communion just specifically so that we can partake of him and have communion with him. And now he goes on to talk about drink. I thought to myself, what's the difference between food and drink? Bread and water. Lord last week said, I'm the bread of life. And I'm the bread of life. And we looked at and we saw how last week the Lord is the bread of life. And he gives us things by which we can partake of him. Because that's bread. But now he said today, I'm like water. What kind of water? A spring of water. What kind of spring of water? Spring of water into everlasting life. Water, to me, is the closest thing that you can find on earth to infinity. It's the closest thing that you can find on earth to infinity. Obviously, water is not infinite. There's a limited amount, but for all practical purposes, it's infinite. Because you go to the ocean, and you can take all the water that you can out of the ocean and have no effect on the ocean. Okay, not to get back into the Holy Week lesson that I gave you in physics, but infinity, okay, infinity minus 100 equals infinity. And same thing, if I take 100 gallons of water out of the ocean, how much will be left? Infinity. It won't have any effect on it, okay? There's no effect when it comes. So water, to me, the difference between water and bread I see pieces. But water is infinite and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And what the Lord tells us today is he's saying that I'm not just the bread of life, given to you through the word of God. Not just the bread of life given to you on this table, but I'm also the water of life, which means that there isn't a place on this earth that you can't find me. Last week he was coming to us and telling us that here I am on this altar, here I am in this bread, and you can find communion with me on this bread. But today what he's coming is saying, in addition to finding communion with me on this bread, on this altar, there isn't a second of the day, there isn't a place that you go on this planet that you can't find communion with me, the deepest and most intimate level of communion with me. That's what life is all about, and that's what everlasting life, and that's what the kingdom of God is all about. How the Lord teaches us this lesson is in kind of a funny way. The story that we just read to us, you all know the story of the Samaritan woman. Jesus has this dialogue with her. And for today, we're not going to really talk about the dialogue too much. We talk a lot about it like when we read it during Lent. But then after Jesus talks with her, she leaves. And who comes back in the picture is the disciples. And what do the disciples say when they see Jesus? What did they say? Huh? What's on the disciples' mind? Same thing that's on Jesus' mind, same thing that's on our mind. They said, eat. That's what it said right here, right? So in the meantime, his disciples, okay, so the woman left, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. His disciples did what? They urged him. They didn't offer him, they urged him. What's urged him? Ladies, you know what urged him is. I come to your house, please eat. No, thank you. And then the urging begins, okay? And no, you have to. See, the disciples had a little bit inside them as well, right? Same background as us. It's the same culture. So the disciples said, eat. He said, no, thank you. They said, no, you have to. He said, no, thank you. He said, no, because of my grandmother and my mother and all those people, you have to eat or else you're embarrassing me and my daughter won't get married and all this kind of stuff. So they urged him and he said, eat. And then Jesus said something very strange. What was Jesus' response to eat? Rabbi, eat. What was his response? Look what he said. He said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. This is one of those times where Jesus flipped the disciples around. He hasn't eaten all day. He's starving. He's starving. He said, eat. He said, I have another kind of food to eat of. Imagine I come to your house, okay, and you say, eat, eat, eat. And I say, you know what? I have food to eat of. That's what you do not know. He flipped around their mind. What is he trying to say right here? And then he goes on and clarifies it a little bit. And he says, my food is to do, the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. How can I have communion with God? How can I eat the bread of life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when I'm not in church? How? Because the Lord tells us that the real bread of life, the real bread of life is to do the will of him who sent you. And if you eat that and you partake of that, first of all, there's no limits to that. Then you can have communion with God everywhere you go, not just on Sundays. And that's why this lady, he told this lady something. Do I worship God here? Do I worship God here? He's saying, lady, it's not here, it's not there. I want you to worship God everywhere you go. How? Because you worship in spirit and you worship in truth. How? How do I have communion with God when I'm not in church? How do I have communion with God when I'm, how do I have communion with God when I'm at work? How? Can I have communion with God when I'm at work? We like to divide into church things and non-church things. And then we think, let's just increase the number of church things that we do. So some people have church things 50% of their day. And some people have it 55% of their day. Some people have it 60% of their day. That's great. But that's not what he's talking about right here. He's saying 100% of the day is me. 100% of the day is me. How? The Catholic epistle and the Pauline epistle spoke very, very practically and very, very specifically about how. The Pauline epistle was all talking about put on the new man with the new conduct. Don't be bitter. Don't have malice. Don't be angry. When someone makes a mistake, you forgive. The Catholic epistle spoke about love one another. And how can you say that you have real love inside you if you see someone in need of this world's goods and you turn your back on him? So what he's telling us here is it's very, very simple. You can have communion with me everywhere you go. And that's why the other thing that the Pauline epistle said was that the chapter from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's no place on this planet that you cannot find communion with God if you seek it. No place. How? How can I find communion with God when I'm in a restaurant? I'm going out today, I'm going to Wegmans. How can I find communion with God in Wegmans? How? Easy, all around you. When you're in front of the cashier and she makes a mistake, you treat her the way Christ would treat her. You found communion with God, you obey. You don't snap and go crazy. Say, hurry up, lady. We just finished church, don't you know? You have communion with God. You're sitting there with your friend, you see someone in need of something, you offer what you have. You have two shirts, you offer one shirt. Someone asks you a mile, you go 2 miles. You have communion with God. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Then you're eating, 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 eating all day. Eating, eating. Isn't that what we preach during the Holy 50? We eat, 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 eat all day. Let's eat, 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 eat all day. And what the Lord is telling us today is that the bread of life, the water of life, it's not just limited to a plate. We saw last week the plate, but it's more than just the plate. It's everywhere you go. We say these days that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Very simple question for you. Simple question. Don't outthink yourself. He's risen. Where is he? He's risen. He died. Everyone agrees he died. He went in a tomb. Everyone agrees he went in a tomb. The tomb is empty. He's risen. Where is he? He's in heaven, but he's also somewhere else. Where is he? He's in me. Isn't he in me? Don't outthink yourself. Don't be too smart. He's in me. Isn't he in me? Is he in me? Is he in you? Is he or isn't he? He is. So what's that mean? That means, I was just sharing with someone this past week, we're talking about like the miracles of Christ. You know how Christ did a lot of miracles. Christ did things on this earth. The Bible says, I shared this one time about how so many people were amazed by Christ, marveled at the stuff, astonished. You go look in the world, marveled, amazed, astonished what Christ did. What's the most amazing miracles that he would do? Yeah, he walked on water. That was cool. Yeah, he fed the 5,000 with the five loaves. That was neat as well. But what are the real miracles that Christ did? I was reading not too long ago. I was sharing with this person the story of the 10 lepers. Oh, not the 10 lepers. I'm sorry. The leper that Christ met, okay? And he did a miracle with him. What was the miracle? And it wasn't the miracle, wasn't that he healed him. What was the miracle? That he touched him. He could touch him. Because I thought to myself, I love that leper too. What would I do for him? I'd pray for that leper. I may give the leper some $20 bill, $50 bill if I got one with me. I may give him my coat. I may give him my Bible. I may teach him all the stories in the Bible. There's one thing I wouldn't do with that leper. I wouldn't touch him. And Jesus could touch him. That's a miracle to me. It's a miracle to me the way he was patient with this Samaritan woman. Well, he didn't go crazy on her, though, even though he was tired and hungry and frustrated. And men, we know when we're tired and hungry and frustrated, we go crazy on anyone. It's a miracle to me the way he was so patient, the way he was so kind. It's a miracle to me that he stood on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. This to me is the miracle. That's the life of Christ. That's the miracle. Don't get just enamored with the five loaves and the two fish and the walk on water and water into wine. Those are nice, but the real miracle is those things. And now the life of Christ, he died so that his life could be manifested in us. That's what St. Paul says. The life of Christ may be manifested in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That the life of Jesus might be manifested in us. And that's what the message of the gospel is today. That today we partake of the bread of life. No doubt about it. We eat the bread of life. But we don't just stop at eating the bread of life and stop at our communion right here. That we go outside and we keep on eating. And everywhere we go, and every place we are, and every person that's in front of us is an opportunity to eat of the food of heaven. To eat of the food of heaven. You know when Christ says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? That's what he's talking about. Blessed are those who leave the church and they're hungry to eat more food of heaven. How you eat more food of heaven is you do the will of him who sent you. That's what Jesus said, and that's what he accepts, what he expects of us as well. The spiritual life is not a program. The spiritual life is not something that you do. It's not a formula. The spiritual life is eating and drinking. That's what the Lord says. He says, I come, we dine together. He says, come and you eat of this tree. He says, I'm bread, I'm water. He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, lives forever. Abides in me and I in him. The spiritual life, don't get fooled. The spiritual life is not in things. The spiritual life is in eating and drinking, the bread of life and the water that makes you never thirsty again. Glory be to God forever. Amen.